How many Hausers did you guys tip back?
Oh, God.
Back in the day.
Cheap Hausers. They were cheap, so we tipped a lot of them.
God. Well, Hausers, I think we need to define what they are.
Yeah.
It started with the word beer, and then that became brew, and then that became Brewhaus, and then that became Brewhauser. And
don't forget Tubes.
Tubes. We had many nicknames for beers.
What was the Tubes part?
Tubes in a can, so there's just a tube.
And then that became Hauser. Schaefer beer was our big...
Yeah,
that
Schaefer.
That was our gasoline back in the day.
I remember
it was
seeing...
cheap, and you could buy it by the cases and drink it.
Oh, at the shows, Dean and Scott, boy, they just would, they would tip. It was something else.
They could power down a few.
Yes, they could.
I've been changing light bulbs, fixing toilets, mowing grass. All day long been thinking about bars to pour my ass. When five rolls round, I'm in my truck, don't even stop at home. I'm gonna meet this something brothers at the Metropole.
How many fans over the years have come up to you and said, when are you guys going to get back together and do something?
When the website came up, it seemed like the request became a lot.
I guess it was a fan base. Some fan just started a website and it generated some interest. I don't know how many years back that was, but...
Was that like 10 years ago or 15?
Yeah, maybe 10 years.
Yeah, 8, 10 years ago. And then that's when the request and it got active and a lot of people got on there and talked about it.
What was your initial reaction when you started hearing that? It's like, no way, we've been there, done that? Or did it start going, maybe we can do something here?
It had to stew for a while.
A little bit. You know, it had been so many years. By then, you're almost in the looking back with nostalgia glasses. And, you know, even 10 years ago, we would still be considered an old band then, let alone now.
Well, is it Denny DeBourbon's health that was the final push that for this time?
Or? Well, actually, which I'm going to say thanks to Tom Morgan right now, because he actually came to me and said, hey, remember, you know, back in the day, in the late 80s, we're thinking about, and this is the mechanics we're talking about, we're thinking about doing a reunion show. Would the Sumter Brothers be interested? Well, at the same time, we were talking about Denny, and I kind of was saying maybe we could work that in a little bit. And then we also mentioned Mojo Stew. But anyway, thanks, Tom Morgan, for asking about or getting this going. He's done quite a bit to get to help this out.
Okay.
So he came to us, and then it turned into a triple reunion type of deal.
That voice is Ed Pierce with Tommy O'Donnell, the Something Brothers reuniting April 8th at the Castle Theater. Tommy, I'll go to you, but if Ed, you want to answer it, that's fine. Everyone wants to know, who is going to be in the band? Who's here?
Okay, so the Something Brothers originally were a six-piece band. There'll be five of us on April 8th. Dean Carlson opted to not be part of this show, and the five of us kind of regrouped and said, well, let's see what it sounds like. And it just, we couldn't deny how good it was sounding, so we just kept going with it. And, of course, when we heard about Denny's, you know, Denny needed help with medical bills, and he helped us so much back in the day. That was sort of the impetus of let's try a little harder at this one than just blowing it off. So
Denny taught us a lot. Denny grounded us as well as we could be grounded, because we were messy, very messy.
Yeah,
and he grounded us. He, you know, kept us contained as well as we could be. Okay.
We were wild young men.
Yeah. So just to I'm going to get to Denny. So just Tommy, Ed, John on drums.
John Ganser will be the on drums. Ed and I on guitars. Scott Wilson lead vocals, and Greg Pear will be playing bass. And we'll have our good buddy Clay Thompson come up and play bass too.
So I see his name, his picture poking up too. So
Clay was a big part of the band for several years. So there will be six of us that night, sans Dean Carlson, sadly. But
is there any chance we can get Dean at that?
I doubt it. Not for this one, but
we're hoping for the
future. We're going to keep the door open.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's just not good timing for Dean at the moment.
Okay. Can I ask you about one song in particular?
Yeah.
Just, I mean, I think I called you a number of years ago, Ed, about this. I don't know if you remember it, but I picked up a Something Brothers. It must have been a CD because I had the cassettes where I couldn't have a cassette player in the car, but I heard If Not, Why Not again.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, that was my all-time favorite Something Brothers song. And you told me that was actually two songs put together.
It was actually three.
Three songs.
Yes, it started out with Scott Wilson. He brought in the beginning chord progression. It was similar to something I was working on. Actually, there was several chords that were together. And I said, well, let's start out with your thing.
3 o'clock in the morning, you're sleeping like a child. I'm seeing double, I look at you and smile.
And then I showed him the second part, which became the second part. And then Tommy had the big monster riff headbanging part in the middle, and he goes, hey, go check out this.
What, the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da,
that part? No, like the heavy metal thing.
Bump, 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 bump,
bump, bump,
bump, bump, bump, bump,
bump. I was a total metalhead. I still am a metalhead. You know, you can't take that out of me.
But once it gets to that part, it's just like, it just feels this relentless power of that thing. And then it goes back into the, you know, the chill out barroom scene.
I would never think that any song that I was a part of would be in my top 20 songs of all time. But if not, why not?
It's such a great song. You're listening to GLT Sound Ideas. I'm John Norton with Ed Pierce and Tommy O'Donnell. They're in studio talking about the Something Brothers reunion at the Castle Theater April 8th. Everyone excited about this.
Yay!
Well, let's talk about Denny. You talked about what a grounding influence he was with your grounding at the time. Could you expand on that a little bit?
Well, you want to?
You know, we were always...
This is Tommy talking now, by the way.
Do-it-yourself rock band. I think what Denny did was he saw potential there, and we did a lot of things on our own as far as touring and booking shows. And back then, you know, the way rock and roll worked on an independent level was so much different than it is now. I mean, basically because there was no internet and it was a lot more word of mouth. And trading shows with other bands and things that we did back in the day. I think Denny saw potential in us, and we just had a million original songs. I mean, we could go and play a three-set night and not...
Can I interject?
And do all our own material, and I think he saw something there.
He had a little bit of good fortune to do... Well, he was managing Cool Ray and the Polaroids,
okay,
and they were very successful.
Right.
And we knew that... I knew that they were successful, and we were, like Tommy was saying, kind of do-it-yourselfer, and we needed that one step up. We needed to step up to the next plate, and ran across Denny and asked him to come listen to us. And I think at first he was probably going, oh, my God, but he saw the light in there.
Because of the so-called sloppiness, you mean?
Just the way, I mean, he had a professional powerhouse band with Cool Ray, and with us, he was looking at us like, wow, this is a... Talk about Motley Crue. We were pre-Motley Crue, and we were that.
Yeah. He was able to kind of focus us a little bit and get us some showcase dates and in front of record companies and all that stuff that managers do that we wouldn't have
been. We wouldn't have been able to
we
do
would
it.
Have been like, where, you know,
we were too busy doing
the
tubes, drinking the Schaefer, and he was on the phone actually talking to New York, and,
yeah,
you know, he got us all the way down south to Key West, right?
He also worked as a booking agent, so he booked us,
managed and booked
shows
us
all over the country. And
well, and he got you to CBGB's too.
Correct.
I remember when that happened, and I was just stunned that, hey, Something Brothers are playing CBGB's.
Yeah, we went there a couple times. That was, you know,
that was crowning time.
Yeah,
yeah,
fun place to play.
And there was a couple of New York producers. They were a little bit farther down on the food chain there, but they had connections, and they were talking. It was TVT Records at the time, which is Gottlieb, which turned his first big one was Nine Inch Nails, and he booked Nine Inch Nails, and then of course Trent Reznor went off to do what he did. And locally, Chicago was our big town to break, and when we finally did that with Denny's help, that's where we actually started, I believe, started churning pretty hard and really getting some notoriety. I think we did Tuesday nights at 1 o'clock and worked our way up to Friday and Saturday nights prime time.
That was it. That would be Chicago Metro.
Yeah, the Metro, Joe Shanahan's club.
Yeah.
And he was managing Smashing Pumpkins at the time.
Well, let's talk about a couple other songs.
Sure.
And I'm not a groupie, so I don't remember all these songs. I got four or five that I remember, actually. But the thing that strikes me is you wrote a number of songs, maybe two or three, that had to do with farms, farming, farm, a grain elevator at the top of the, what, hill?
Top, yeah, of our town.
Top of our town. You guys wrote songs about farming in farms in the middle of central Illinois that weren't poking fun at farming.
No,
you guys were serious about this.
Absolutely.
That this is where you're from.
Farmer Jones is a great example.
Yeah.
That's a very serious song that Scott wrote all the lyrics to. You know, he
knew it. Well, he's a farm.
And he's a country boy.
Country boy.
So okay. They have Scott has a unique look at that, you know.
If you listen to Scott's lyrics, you'll see the beauty and descriptions you get. He's a pretty good describer, really good describer. Both guys were, Dean and Scott, were really good at describing and give you the images and get you in a spot. Yeah.
Listening to GLT Sound Ideas. We're talking with Tommy O'Donnell and Ed Pierce. The Something Brothers reunion is April 8th at the Castle Theater. Well, a lot of the fans, myself included, are really geeked about this show, and it means a lot to them. What does it mean to you guys?
Well, for me, it's like getting the rust off, you know, kicking it in the pants, talking to the guys, you know, all the old stories come up. So it's a lot of fun. I mean, you can imagine the nostalgia in that, and you know, don't want to just live there totally. So, but you know, we get together and we have a good time. I think there's a maturity in our playing where it was kind of messy before and just kind of, I don't want to say haphazard, but it was kind of crazy before, and now it's pretty focused.
Yeah,
I mean, we know how to talk to one another. We focus. Let's work on this part, and we know when things are getting astray and getting. So it's actually pretty dang tight.
You have recorded some new songs recently for an EP. You said that you don't want to recreate the past, even though I've been bringing you back to the 80s a lot here, but you don't want to recreate the past musically. But you still have to keep a Something Brothers framework, don't you, somehow? What is that framework?
I think it's we always had like a songwriting approach that anything could work. It was never pigeonholed. Like I was saying earlier, it was sometimes to the detriment of the band and sometimes to our advantage. Once you got a hold of it as a fan, you could be like, wow, these guys do every kind of thing all in their own original songs. And I think that approach didn't leave. If you listen to the new EP that we did last year, there's sort of a jaggedy punk song called Piss Me Out, and then there's a really sweet ballad called Santa Fe that just goes on and has, you know, extensive guitar solos. And, you know, it's I guess it's the very... To keep it varied has always been our approach.
And everybody
for better or for worse.
Everyone gets a say. I mean, that's always been a wonderful thing about us, because somebody has an idea and then somebody will pick up on that idea, or, hey, what if we did this to it? And everybody's been able to dance that dance of like, wow, let's try that. Or, well, that didn't quite work. Let's try this. And we really can bounce off each other, and we kind of roll with the punches really well.
Well, this is so much fun. We could go on forever.
Oh, it's going to be over?
There's only so much time.
There's a million songs.
Oh, my God.
You're right.
Well, how are you going to narrow down a set list for this show? Is it really hard?
Well, without Dean there, obviously we're going to focus on Scott's songs, and they tend to be a little more melodic anyway, and he's just a fantastic singer. He's like our Robin Zander, you know, and those songs were pretty easy to pick. I think we threw out two or three that weren't sounding very good, and then we added two or three.
We had to get some of the classic rockers in there too. They were not in there at first, but we had to pick up the pace.
All the big Something Brothers like anthemic songs are going to be there that night.
So good to see you guys.
Yeah,
so many
thanks,
people
John.
Thank you,
so excited about this show. Tommy O'Donnell and Ed Pierce, the Something Brothers reunited April 8th at the Castle Theater. Man, good luck for you. And thanks for doing this. From everybody in central Illinois, probably beyond, thanks for doing this.
Appreciate it, John.
Thanks, John.